Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Thanks for being with us at a Trash Tuesday. Coming up here about 38 minutes from now, we'll do Trash Tuesday, 40 minutes past the hour. So if you have anything that you want to trash, people, places, things, things you got to vent about, get off your chest. You can tweet at me right now, DA on CBS, over the next 45 minutes. We'll read those during Trash Tuesday, or you can dial me up and hang on for that segment. That is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The Dallas Cowboys got humiliated on Sunday, which showed how fragile their success is. When they are able to run the football, specifically with Ezekiel Elliott, it covers up and masks the other deficiencies on that team. When Ezekiel Elliott pounds forward for big yardage, first downs, it helps keep the pressure off of Dak, helps alleviate needing a big day through the air, and protects clock and protects its defense, gives the team a lead, punches sevens in instead of settling for threes, and doesn't turn the football over. Without Zeke in there, and with an offensive line that's banged up, missing Tyron Smith, and was unable to get that push on the Falcons on Sunday, and then also couldn't keep Dak upright, six sacks by one guy, Adrian Claiborne, the Dallas Cowboys suddenly look like a pathetic team. And they don't have Zeke now for the next 5 weeks as well. I think it was a mistake to fight this thing for the Dallas Cowboys. I would have taken the medicine first 6 weeks of the season, hope that you were 3-3, and then have Zeke the final 10 weeks, because this is the time you need the battering ram as teams wear down, defenses deal with injuries, and it's your stretch run for the playoffs. I think the Cowboys made a mistake fighting this and not just taking the medicine the first six games of the season.
Don't go to no more Dallas Cowboy fans in America. Come to me, and I'm telling y'all, the whole world is over.
It might be over for the Cowboys. It certainly looked over on Sunday. And now they're going to be completely exploited by the fact that they're not healthy and Sean Lee's going to miss another game. Bad news for the defense.
I like you, Dak, but you ain't going to be playing in the season much longer because you're going to be hurt.
But on top of that, now we have a civil war brewing between Jerry Jones and the rest of the owners. As Jerry is PO'd about two things. Number one, PO'd about Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. Number two, about the kneeling during the national anthem. Now, I got a feeling that if Jerry did not suspend Zeke, I'm sorry, if Roger did not suspend Zeke, Jerry wouldn't be all that bothered enough about the anthem protests to go crazy on it. I think this has been a vicious cycle where He wasn't thrilled, isn't thrilled with players kneeling during the national anthem. He views it not only as an affront in his mind to the national anthem, veterans, the military, but for Jerry, he also views it more importantly as bad business. Because here's the thing. I'm sure he respects the military. I'm sure he respects what he believes is American ideals. But Jerry would sell out for basically anything that sold him a ticket. What he sees it as bad business. If he sold more luxury suites or had more endorsements or sold more tickets because the players were kneeling, my guess is Jerry would be quite okay with players kneeling. But he views it as bad business. Fine. I could get that. There are a lot of people upset by it. But this all stems from the Zeke thing. If Zeke wasn't suspended, Jerry would be once again arm in arm with Roger Goodell telling everybody what a great job Roger's doing. So this is petty, catty Jerry thinking he's above the fray. That you don't do it to me. You can do it to Tom Brady. You can do it to Ray Rice. But you don't do it to me. You don't suspend my guy because I'm Jerry Jones. I run this castle. That's the way Jerry looks at it. Mark Cuban's famous line, which now looks more and more poignant by the day. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. In other words, you can be fat and happy if you're an NFL owner. You're safe. Roll around in your mud, snort, oink, eat up those corn cobs. You'll be just fine. But if you get too greedy and become a hog, that's when the farmer comes down and goes, that guy's getting slaughtered. That guy's going to make a good old pork shoulder, ham hock, and thing of bacon. And Jerry is becoming the hog. Jerry has become the hog. Jerry Jones has the most valuable franchise in North American sports. Jerry Jones has the most opulent, taxpayer-paid-for funded stadium. Jerry Jones has the most jerseys sold. Jerry Jones has 3 Super Bowl championships under his watch. Jerry Jones has all the money and all the influence and all the power he could ever want behind those walls. But now he's overstepping his boundaries. Now he's so crazed with his ego that he's launching a lawsuit or threatening it behind the scenes against the league. And when Papa John comes out, and I can't believe I'm citing him as Papa John, like that's an official title here. But yes, when Papa John comes out and says, the anthem stuff is hurting my pizza sales, those in the NFL are saying he's been put up to that by Jerry. Because Jerry is a co-owner, part owner in a billion Papa John shops. And Papa John's the official pizza of the Dallas Cowboys. So Jerry's going to the business community and going, we want you to speak out against the anthem. We need you to speak out against the NFL. We are taking down Roger Goodell. Well, this is a mutiny by one guy. He's going to use his leverage. He's going to use his power, influence, buddies to bring down everybody else. He is willing to shoot holes in the profit margin of everybody else to get his way, to get his guy out and his guy put in. Jerry's become the hog. How funny. Mark Cuban, who knows Jerry Jones pretty well as they own teams in the same city, probably thought about Jerry himself when he made that comment 3 years ago. Jerry is now out of control. Jerry's always had a massive ego, massive, but been charming enough and been accessible enough to where people kept giving him passes, specifically the media. Give him a pass, give him a pass, give him a pass, because he comes on my radio show. He's available after every game. He's charming. Dean Blandino is the head of officiating. He's in the Dallas Cowboys bus. He's partying with the Dallas Cowboys front office and ownership. You think that team runs stuff in the NFL? Dean freaking Blandino, who's supposed to be the head of an unbiased organization running the rules of the game, is on a party bus with the Cowboys logo on it. Guess who runs stuff in the NFL? The Cowboys run stuff. Guess who runs stuff in the NFL? The Patriots run stuff. Those are the teams and the owners that have the egos and the control and the power hunger to control everything. And this has gotten out of control for both of those owners. It happened with Tom Brady's Deflategate suspension and punishment when they launched a website, which abided on Squarespace suddenly. Launching a website going into the science and technology of deflating footballs. And now the Cowboys. But at least Robert Kraft has stood down. It helped winning a championship, of course. But now Jerry's out of control. And there's a nuclear option. And that is taking the team away from Jerry. As Pro Football Talk reported, there is a possibility that multiple owners have already discussed a possibility, which comes from the NFL Constitution, that says if an owner, quote, has been or is guilty of conduct detrimental to the welfare of the league, they can try to take away the team from the owner. Cancellation or forfeiture of the franchise in the league of any member club involved or implicated. They're not going to be able to take away the team from Jerry Jones. It's not going to happen. But this is the type of stuff they're talking about behind the scenes. He went over the line. He stepped too far. He became the hog.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 3 minutes long.
Frankly, the ones that do have the background experience, and they can't tell me this morning either. But his swing of judgment has been unbelievable, from the Ray Rice thing all the way up to one or two games.
Oink, oink, pig. Can you sing a song? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 3 minutes long.
And I can show you some things that he wants to take back. This is a very example of it. I am very troubled by the swing. Sure, he'd like to take back his initial Ray Rice stance and a few other.
Oink, oink, pig. Jerry Jones is that hog that's gonna get slaughtered. Bad, man. Jerry Jones has become the hog. Oink, oink, pig, dude. When we come back here on the show, Randy Cross is gonna join us, college football analyst for CBS Sports. Let's discuss with him what he expects to see in tonight's college football playoff rankings and some head-to-head matchups which may have changed some opinions over the course of Saturday and recent games. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Friend of the Da Show, NFL Network, our good friend Steve White. Steve, good morning.
D to the A. Thanks for having me back in your dojo, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Glad you're with us on a fine Tuesday morning. Joining us is one of our favorite college football analysts. And tonight, of course, we have the newest college football playoff rankings. He's a college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. He'll be on the call Thursday when Buffalo takes on Ball State. And then on Saturday when San Jose State takes on Colorado State. You see him Tuesdays throughout the season as well on Inside College Football. Super Bowl champion Randy Cross joining us here on the show. Randy, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Doing really well, thanks.
Good. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, when the rankings come out later on today, there's going to be, I'm sure, some people that are upset, some people that are thrilled. But when you look at the college football playoff rankings, considering we still have a couple of weeks to go and a couple of rankings to go, Is it right to get so fired up about this, or is it kind of just a made-for-TV event that we should take as such?
Is it possible I can just answer yes? You know, I think the weekly rankings were created as a TV event, as a talking point, as something to discuss, you know, on Wednesday mornings and going forward during the week, and in some cases lose your mind over briefly on Tuesday nights. But you know, we sort of lose sight, even at the very end of this whole thing, that the only real one that matters is that sort of next-to-last ranking, the one that gives us that final form. So, yeah, it's going to be fun for all the extrapolation out there. And the best part about it, DA, is going to be, hey, make your argument for your team, whether you're Ohio State or whoever, SC, you know, Big 12. It's going to be entertaining.
Which blowout was more surprising to you? Was it Miami rolling over Notre Dame or Auburn doing what it did to Georgia?
You know, I really think it was the Auburn over Georgia, because Georgia had played so well and looked so good. And, you know, Miami, don't forget, Miami's still undefeated, but they had looked pretty solid. And they were fast, and they could do a lot of things, you know, I think really well. You know, Miami, if it was possible, as a 9-0 team, was pretty much under the radar before that Notre Dame game. And people didn't want to recognize any flaws in Notre Dame's game because their running game was so good and their offensive line was so good. But, you know, there's some chinks, dents in the armor that no one sort of wanted to pay attention to a week ago, but suddenly now when you look at Notre Dame, you've got to see. But, you know, I think the Auburn game, how good they were and how normal Georgia was being the number one team, is probably the biggest one.
Randy Cross joins us, CBS Sports college football analyst. So I think one of the more interesting things about this rankings will be where Miami slots comparatively to Clemson. Because Clemson has the one loss, but, you know, they're headed for this ACC championship showdown. Who do you think right now is a better football team? Is it Miami at undefeated or a one-loss Clemson squad?
I think right now Miami, because they have, I believe personally for me, I put value in winning everything and staying undefeated. I think the whole pressure, especially once you get past about the midway point, the pressure of staying perfect, I believe, far outweighs the gut-wrenching experience of having lost. So I just by sort of the eyeball test, I like what Miami's doing, and I would put them over at Clemson. And, you know, having said that, you've got another team out there like Oklahoma that's in a very similar position to what Clemson's in people's eyes, that they very well may be ranked in this ranking tonight above two undefeated teams.
Yeah, and one of those being Wisconsin, which I want to ask you, what's your take on this Badgers team? Because they're still undefeated. Granted, they haven't had a great schedule, but do you believe that they're one of the four best teams in the country, or would they have to prove that with a win in the Big Ten championship game and remaining undefeated?
Well, they're similar to Miami in that they're still going to have to get through the sled race undefeated. But I think if you just look at what they've done the last 2 weeks as an undefeated team, as the team that people are now paying all this attention to and scrutinizing, you know, pretty seriously, it's hard not to make an argument that as they keep winning, well, gosh, I guess they're better than we thought. And I think you have to put them in the same kind of category until they prove otherwise, as Miami, honestly. They haven't had that terrible experience that you look at and go, holy man, you know, like we saw with Oklahoma, like we saw with Ohio State, like we've seen with Clemson. You know, everybody's got that hiccup and that yeah, but, you know, how much higher do you think Georgia should be ranked? Because they won all their games before last week. But then you're going to have that one thing on the resume where you look at them. Yeah, they'll get a chance in a couple of weeks to avenge that loss. But until further notice, they're a pretty flawed team.
Randy Cross joins us, college football analyst, CBS Sports Network. In the SEC, we've got two openings already, maybe more to come, Florida and Tennessee. Of course, now you have talks about where Chip Kelly would land, maybe at one of those two schools, maybe not. Do you think Chip Kelly will be coaching in college next year?
I kind of hope so. You know, I thought he was great for college. You know, maybe his ego will say, I got to go back to the pros because that didn't exactly go well, to put it lightly. But, you know, Nick Saban somehow got over that whole so-called stigma. So I think that's where Chip Kelly belongs. Now, does he belong in the SEC? Would he be successful in that scenario? Specifically, the Florida job I think is intriguing because, you know, if you think about it, everybody always wants to talk about defense, blah, 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 blah. You know, their success, their national championships recently – came with a guy named Spurrier, who's not exactly, you know, known for his only defenses. He had good defenses, but, you know, he had excitement. He put butts in the seat because of the offense, and that's what Kelly would do.
You know, Dan Mullen once again proved what type of coach he is when he took Alabama last Saturday to the mat and nearly pulled the upset. It's dangerous to go into Starkville, man. It's dangerous for these ranked teams, and so people are starting to realize Dan Mullen's a pretty good coach. And I think with those ties to Florida, he seems like a natural replacement in the Gators program. But for Dan Mullen, is it actually a really good fit for him to stay at Mississippi State? He's paid really well. And even though it's the SEC West, do you think that he might just be inclined to stay there even if he got offered the Florida job?
Well, right now, the West is still, you know, there's still Alabama. There's still LSU. There's still Ole Miss. There's still some pretty good size programs on that size. From a consistent standpoint, the East is easier hunting. The East would be a quicker fix than the West would be. The West is going to be year in and year out. You know, you can win 8 games in the West and still have, you know, 4 to 5 games losses on your resume. So I think it's that much harder. And I would be very surprised if he just said, look, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to continue building where I'm at. I believe he'd have a much higher upside if he did leave Mississippi State.
Randy Cross, college football analyst. He's got Buffalo and Ball State Thursday on the call, and then Saturday San Jose State takes on Colorado State. Let me ask you before we let you go, who's the best group of five football team in America? Because one of the cool things we have now is that New Year's Six bowl games, and one group of five team is going to get in there. Who is the best one in your mind?
Well, the best one I've seen is UCF. Scott Frost's team, offense, defense, special teams, all the way around. They're not only the best group of five, they might be the most improved team in the country. And, you know, if you love college football and you like great stories, that UCF program is worth taking a look at, because when it's all said and done, I think they've got a great chance of not only finishing 13-0, but, you know, making a pretty good impression on New Year's Day.
Yep, and you've got Florida fans, you've got Nebraska fans clamoring for Scott Frost. That has really vaulted him into the conversation. Randy Cross, college football analyst, CBS Sports Network, as I mentioned. Thursday night, Buffalo and Ball State, he's on the call, and then Saturday, San Jose State on Colorado State. Catch them Tuesdays throughout the season inside college football. Randy, always fun to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, DA, no problem, man.
Randy Cross joining us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, boys and girls, it's a Trash Tuesday, so we want to hear your trashings coming up here next. What are you venting about? Who are you venting about? Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll read them coming up here next, but also on the phones. Hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. Again, DA on CBS. Give me your trashings when we come back. It's a Trash Tuesday. This is the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You're listening to the DA Show. Boom shakalaka.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust, like BrakeBest and Wagner Thermoquiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts is the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Later on tonight, I'll be releasing this week's episode of Nomad, which will be surrounding my trip down to Auburn, which was amazing, from the tailgate to the night before, being able to tour the locker room and be on the field, to the rolling of Toomer's Corner. You know, watching not only a huge game at Auburn, the number one team, go down in that fashion, and then heading over to Toomer's Corner where they throw the toilet paper, they roll the trees in Toomer's Corner on campus, it reminded me of my younger days during Halloween, where Mraz has such scarred memories of getting bombed by older kids, shaving cream, toilet paper, the flour sock pounding into his pudgy belly at 13 years old by the 14 and 15 year old kids, screaming for mom. He has such bad memories. I have such good memories of going out. I was never the Halloween bully, as you might imagine, with my size and stature. Could never afford to be the mean kid. Also, wasn't in my DNA either. So I was having to kind of dodge that type of stuff. But I tried to make sure that I wasn't on anybody's bad side, because that was not going to be pretty. It was not going to be a happy night. But I had only good Halloweens, and I can remember neighborhood that I went trick-or-treating, tons of toilet paper in the trees and shaving cream all over mailboxes and whatnot. And perhaps I partook once or twice, but no significant damage. And so I loved seeing Toomer's Corner toilet paper, because how many other chances in life do you get to see anything toilet papered except on Halloween? And it brings you back to being a kid. So Mraz, I know you got the flour sock pounded into your face a bunch and left some raw spots of those ham hocks of yours, but I've got nothing but good memories about those days in Halloween.
I don't have any good memories of it all. And in fact, I saw you and Brad Heller, the Desort coordinator's, pictures with the toilet paper hanging, and it did give me a little of like that chill. Like, I'm just not sitting right when I see toilet paper hanging from trees. And I would also like to say, as great as that looked, as great as it seemed, is that a little unfair to whoever's going to come by and clean that up? What if a bird swallows a piece of toilet paper?
It's a tough cleanup, let me tell you.
Not good for the environment.
It's probably not great. No, it's probably not great for the environment. That's like 4 inches of toilet paper on the ground, and then every tree is covered with it.
And what if you throw in 2-ply up there?
I didn't see much 2-ply. Didn't see that.
They went with the fake cheese roll that you would get in a school?
Yeah. And then people were just kind of scavenging if there was any loose rolls that were not completely up on the trees, and then taking them from the ground and then throwing them up themselves, even if they didn't bring their own toilet paper. And then one very entrepreneurial young man was selling toilet paper to people as they exited the stadium, $1 a roll.
Gotta respect a person like that.
Gotta respect it.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
That's the side hustle.
I'm sure the government saw all the tax money from that.
That's the side hustle. So that's going to be part of Nomad, which I'll be releasing later on today. So go to YouTube and subscribe to my YouTube channel, and you will get the notifications when the new episode is up. I'll also post it on Facebook and then tweet it out as well. Just search my name and then Nomad, which is my name spelled backwards. It is time for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Okay, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Well, I got to trash a fellow I saw in the supermarket yesterday when I got home after the show. Something that I posted a picture on my Instagram at MirazCBS, shameless plug there. The man was walking through a supermarket with a bird on his shoulder, his pet bird. It was squawking with a rah! It was flapping its wings. It was crawling from one shoulder to the other. Customers were very frantic and scared.
What kind of bird was this?
This was, I don't think it's a parakeet is like the big one with all the red, the yellow, whatever. This is a little small green one.
I think the parrot's the big one. The parakeet's the small one.
Okay, so maybe it's a parakeet. So it's a little small green bird. It's sitting there. It's almost talking. A lady yelled at him like, sir, you know, what are you doing? He told her to calm down. He brings the bird there all the time. He's been here before, he said. Then at the deli, one idiot deli worker was so consumed with the bird, he couldn't stop asking questions, while the only smart guy working at this deli turned to the man and said, sir, you can't have a bird, you know, flapping around a food store like this, in which he replied, it's okay, he likes roast beef and cracked pepper turkey, which he proceeded to order. So now the bird is ordering cold cuts with this man. Finally, it was like this guy had the same route through the store that I had, that we were both at the cashier's, and by the end, I had to take a picture. I said, I cannot believe this. Another lady looking at me like, what the heck is going on here? This man was allowed to shop for a good half an hour with this bird on his shoulder, squawking, making noise, and scaring other customers away. And you know what? It's dirty to have a bird in a food store. Get him out.
You've been trashed.
But what about like a service dog? Do you feel the same way about that?
I don't like dogs. I love dogs, and there are certain places dogs are welcome. When I was in Tampa Bay, they were welcome at certain bars.
Well, how about this grocery store? If a blind person or an elderly or a military veteran brought in a dog.
You're going to put me in a hard spot there. I understand they need the dog. I just find the idea of the fur and everything else that goes into a dog around loose produce.
Everything else that goes into a dog.
You know what I mean. I don't want to get too graphic, but like you're around, like the asparagus is in open air. It's not covered there. I don't want fur flying into there. I don't want bird feathers near there. These animals are disease ridden. Get them out of my food stores. It's one thing to have them there sitting next to a bar stool with you. It's another in a food store. It's gross. Animals have a place in society. Humans have a place. We commingle and share homes. Stores, take a hike.
I do feel as though there's probably something less sanitary about a bird than a dog.
Birds are probably the most disgusting animals outside of rats.
Even though a dog can walk over a lot of dirty things.
Yeah, but a dog can at least lick itself clean.
But the bottom of its paws has got to be covered with a lot of stuff.
You don't know what's in the air. I mean, people are smoking cigarettes. You got that pollution up there and these birds are flying through it.
The pollution up there where the birds are.
Exactly.
Where that parakeet is flying, there's a lot of pollution up there.
Exactly.
All right, Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing today?
DA, thanks for having me. A quick trash for
chair. Roast beef and cracked pepper is what the parakeet likes to eat.
Yes.
I feel like I can get along with that.
He ordered a half pound of each, and he said it was for the bird.
It's a lot of meat for
that bird. Birds living large.
Yeah, really.
Seriously. So a quick trash of this chair has me sinking like below the desk. But more importantly, and this may be my last trash because of who I'm going to trash.
Oh.
I have to trash the bosses here at CBS Sports Radio. I have to wonder who's in charge of this place. DA, as you know this, as you were coming up the ranks, weekends, overnights, holidays, those are the time when the regular folks, the people who are established, take time off, are not here, and that's when those who are up and coming get their first chance to be on the air and show what they can do.
Sure.
I'm sure the first time you hosted somewhere, it might have been on one of those off times.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't drive time on a Wednesday afternoon Super Bowl week.
Absolutely not.
So I find out this week that on Thanksgiving morning and Black Friday morning, prime time for somebody to make their debut here at CBS, or somebody who's been, you know, pounding the hardwood, trying to get that break. Those guys don't get that shot. Instead, that shot, or those shots, because it's two shows, go to Sean.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Are you not aware of this?
Wait,
is this news? Are you not a Facebook follower? Well, I assume that's what it's going to sound like at 2 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning.
Right.
I mean, he's good in small doses, but 4 hours by himself?
So you're trash of the bosses. We should make this announcement now. Mraz will be hosting the overnight show for Amy Lawrence the morning of Thanksgiving and the morning of Black Friday, and you're trashing the bosses for this.
Yeah. Rewarding what?
Laziness.
Exactly. We've gone through this. the guest bookings or lack thereof.
Oh, very lackadaisical.
The terrible podcast posting instructions when he's not here.
Very inconsistent.
The general, you know, just dissolving of responsibility when things go wrong. It's everybody else's fault.
A malaise as a producer.
Making up injuries and illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And now he gets 6, 7, 8 hours of radio all to himself.
8 hours.
8 hours.
Mraz will be hosting Thanksgiving morning, the overnight, 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. Eastern time.
Who's in charge here?
And then Black Friday as well.
Taking out the trash.
Why do you think they're allowing this?
I don't know. Do they think that he has no time left because this concussion is that serious? Is this some kind of, like, make-a-wish thing? I don't know. Anything's on the table.
Bequeathing Mraz.
While we still can. Let's throw Sean a bone.
To make sure.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Andrew, for taking away the opportunity for me to announce this at the end of the week on the show.
I didn't know that we weren't doing that. I thought it was already out there.
He did post it on Facebook.
Yeah,
last
that's
night.
Why I thought that was the public unveiling.
It was for close friends and family, which I considered you, but now the whole world knows. So, yes, bring it on.
How about it?
I apologize for that. You can trash me then subsequently for ruining your announcement.
Round, well, firm, rumpus.
Well, we are going to discuss this more at length, certainly, moving forward.
Well, again, I apologize, and I'm going to blame Pete for this, because I told Pete I was going to do this morning, and Pete could have told me not to do it.
Oh, I think it was fine. If you're going to make that announcement about Mraz hosting, it should happen during a Trash Tuesday. It's kind of the most
and not the way Sean wants it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The most appropriate way to
suck
do it.
Suck down this hot dog.
Coming up after the break, how to suck down this hot dog and birds in grocery stores.
I love my sausage smoked.
Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, first, I'm going to trash Andrew for throwing everybody under the bus after his mistake.
Fair.
Second of all, I'm going to trash all these talking heads on all of these shows that we see in the morning. Mm. Do we have to get the emphasis on the handshake? I mean, enough already. We're talking sports on a sports talk show. Do we need to have the pounds and the handshake over examined? I mean, enough already. It's just
like
sports.
When coaches do this?
No, when hosts do
when
it.
When hosts do it,
that's right.
They're examining how they fist pump.
It's overemphasized. The handshake, Stephen A. shaking that other guy's hand.
Okay.
The other show with those other two guys, they're fist bumping and it's in the commercial. Enough already. We're just doing sports. We're not cutting open a body and having open heart surgery.
You're so trashy.
Enough.
Do a lot of your open heart surgeons do extravagant fist bumps?
Well, I think so. Before, get comfortable with the patient.
What is going on here?
Thanks for taking the attention off me, Pete.
I've had it. Enough.
Oh, that's fantastic. I am trashing the Waffle House scene at about 12:30 a.m. Sunday night, Monday morning. We were coming back through Saturday night, Sunday morning, coming back through Atlanta as we flew down to Auburn, flew back out of Auburn, decided why not? We're in Atlanta, hot Atlanta where the players play. Let's go grab a little Waffle House action late night. Walk into the Waffle House. I mean, honestly, it felt like a war zone. I'm like, where am I right now? I mean, not only is it the middle of the night and every table and every bar stool is taken, when everybody needs Waffle House right now, everybody needs this. This is like a last resort for me. Everybody needs this. Okay. Looking around, it's the middle of the night and there's a lot of energy in this building. Way too much, more than I need. I'm exhausted from a day at Auburn, game day, the night before. I just need a quick snack and get me out of there. People are loud. People are drunk. People are joking around. People are definitely high. People are doing things I don't even want to know what they're doing. Looked like there was some type of video game convention that had just come through town, so I got that whole thing going on. Like, oh boy, where do I put in my name for table? Oh, right. There is no put in your name for table. It is every man for themselves. It's a free-for-all. It's basically a Black Friday rush. It's like people trampling other people, rushing to that table. Nothing's getting wiped down. All right, fine, no problem. I know it's late. A lot of the employees working hard. I'm sure they're not working for a lot of money. I don't blame them at all. But then these two women are sitting at the counter, and they're not getting served, and they start screaming. I mean, screaming at the employees at the service. And I'm going, you got to chill out. They're so mad. They're so upset. They feel so offended. Finally, they get one of those laminated menus in front of them. They order all their pancakes and all their whatever. And they start howling, laughing. I don't know what could be so funny at 1 a.m. at a Waffle House after you were just so mad. All I'm thinking is these people are really high. This must be the effects of meth or something else, because they're on really high, sharp, furious moments, then really crazy cackling, laughing. And I'm going, hey, ladies, do we need this at this hour? I'm just here for a little skillet and a pancake. I don't need the headache right now, but I should have known it's a bad time to go in there when it's late night, because those are people that are really drunk or really stoned or really crazy. But the whole thing was just a little bit too much for me, and I walked out not only with the greasy spoon, but also with quite the headache.
Hot trash.
If you've got trashings to do, hit us up at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Sean tweets, I'm trashing the office worker that cooks fish in the break room microwave.
Oh. Must be Trash Tuesday.
That person deserves to be trashed.
Fired.
That is such a no-no. You can cook a lot of things in the microwave. You can't go with fish there. Anything but fish.
Because you can't be the next guy to microwave your food in a microwave that was just microwaved with fish. Then your food stinks and smells like fish.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about throwing fish out? That's another one.
Yeah, that's right. Justin tweets, I'm trashing Ken Whisenhunt. 6 straight runs, no first downs, and chances to put the game away. More Chargers silliness.
Epic trash job.
Anthony tweets, I'm trashing the Knicks for letting one-dimensional Kyle Korver score 19 in the fourth to beat them. That should never happen.
Someone just got trashed.
Let's get to more trashings when we come back. It's a Trash Tuesday. Plus, why are there so many people fighting at football games? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.